Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, one of now three Tuesday Morning Show hosts, and I'm here today with three guests. It's going to be great. We've invited the Master Naturalist back with some fish and game folks to support them and really get into what's going to be going on this season through Master Naturalist program and Idaho Fish and Game. So before we begin, I'll do a brief weather report, and those of you who are here every day, I think, have an idea of what it's going to be. Highs of 44 today, low tonight of 24, basically a mix of snow and rain, and then some partly sunny, partly cloudy days. So it's Wednesday, it looks like we'll have part sun, high of 46. Thursday, looks like 100% rain and high of 45. Let's see, Friday, 44 and 100% chance of precipitation. So it goes on. This is March in Sandpoint. I think we're all pretty used to it. Hopefully snow up at Schweitzer so that folks are enjoying that last bit of spring fling March skiing. All right, well, let's move on to introductions of our guests this morning. I'll start with you, Perky, because you're the Master Naturalist. Good morning, Perky Hagedone. You're a board member. You're also the volunteer coordinator for the Master Naturalists. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes. Now, we've chatted before, but for those who haven't heard a bit about you yet, just give us a brief bit of information about how you got involved with Master Naturalists.
Well, as long as I can remember, I've had a deep love for nature. And I wanted to come up with a story. My mom, when I was in middle school, she used to take us on all this crazy stuff. And of course, being a middle schooler, I was pretty grumpy about it. She took us out in this area and she said, okay, watch. And there was California condors flying freely through the air. And then she told me that we were watching the last ones that before they took them into captivity to try to save them. And so I just thought, why? What have we done to hurt these incredibly regal animals? And luckily, we have saved them. But so being outside and trying to do my part has always been super important to me as I've grown up. And when I retired, I actively sought an organization that would allow me to continue that work, and it's the Master Naturalists.
Yes, and there's a few ways that you can volunteer in the outdoors here in the Panhandle, but what a great choice. Lots of ways you can learn and help out and volunteer with Master Naturalists. Well, I think I'll just go ahead and continue with the introductions, and then we'll get back to you, Perky. Casey McCormick, you are, let's see if I've got it right, regional non-game biologist?
Yep, regional non-game wildlife biologist.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, please let us know, how did you get involved with Fish and Game? How did you end up there? And you told me off air that you've been with them for about 10 years, which is great.
Well, similar to Perky, I kind of started loving and playing in nature when I was really young as well. I was really fortunate to actually grow up in North Idaho in Coeur d'Alene. And I'm sure that was a big part of why I got into what I'm doing now. I grew up camping and hiking and fishing and skiing and mountain biking and all those things that we love to do around here. And as I got further into my education and started going to college, I thought that, you know, doing something where I get to work in that environment every day and hopefully make a positive impact would be something that'd be really fulfilling and I'd enjoy. So decided to go that route. And like you said, I started working for Fish and Game about 10 years ago. Prior to that, I did a lot of, starting with Fish and Game, and prior to that, I did a lot of seasonal work, working around the Northwest. I worked a little up in Canada doing different seasonal wildlife survey work. And now ended up where I am now, which is I'm really enjoying as the non-game biologist for the last few years here in the Panhandle. So.
And non-game wildlife is a totally a different, you know, we'll say animal than the game species. You're looking at totally different things. How's that been?
It's been great. Like, don't get me wrong. I love all our critters, and I do get to work with big game as well and other species we might think of as game species. But yeah, I think non-game, you know, covers every other little critter on the landscape that maybe we don't think about a lot. And I think one reason, not only is it great to not forget about those species, but it's also always a learning experience. And so I would say I'm an expert in very few things, but I'm a jack of all trades, which I really enjoy, and it allows me to kind of learn and how best to learn about and manage each of these species and kind of how to go about that every year. So it's never boring, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, how neat. How nice that you've been able to get in that spot with Fish and Game.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, not last, but definitely not least, you, Heidi Knapp, and you are the volunteer services coordinator. That's a very important job, I would guess, especially as it relates to Master Naturalist. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. Similar to these two, grew up with camping and being outdoors and always loved wildlife. So I took a career path that started down the education route and then through a couple different options wound my way back to Fish and Game, starting at the front desk in customer service. And through that, then moved up into this volunteer services coordinator, which encompasses a lot of different options. But it's just awesome to get to, in my position, especially with the hunter and trapper education standpoint, be able to influence and reach the folks who are just starting in their journey with or, you know, starting their hunting journey or, you know, just enjoy the wildlife around that we have here.
So. Right, but to be able to work with the young folks and maybe help them understand and develop an ethic that would be a good one in our current times.
Absolutely.
The way wildlife is going.
So absolutely.
I bet that feels good to make a difference with youngsters. Well, I've neglected to thank the Master Naturalists for being underwriters for KRFY, so thank you for that, Perky. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate your support. And I'll just move on now and ask you, Perky, to take a minute and give the listeners an overview of really what is the Master Naturalist program all about?
The Pendere chapter of the Idaho Master Naturalist is a really thriving, fun, incredibly hardworking group that is committed to learning and then helping the environment. And I wanted to read I don't usually do this, but a mission statement, because I think it's really powerful. Our mission is to empower individuals to become informed stewards of the natural world, actively contributing to conservation and appreciation of the Idaho Panhandle's unique ecosystems through education, research, and volunteerism. Because it's so important in these times to be as educated as possible about our natural world so we can make sound decisions about how we move forward. And we've been around our particular chapter since 2011. And to become a member, we pay $65 the first year and then $15 every year after that, which I think is a huge bargain. And then the goal of each member is to do 40 hours of education, which is quite a bit. I started during COVID, so it was kind of easy. I did a lot of Zooming. But the classes are amazing. They're mushroom foraging, learning about trees, understanding the importance of our pollinators, which is a huge focus right now in the western part of the United States. The Great Flood. I mean, there's almost anything you want to learn about, and the experts come in, and the classes have just been pretty remarkable.
Yes, and varied. So many areas. Mm-hmm. If you have an area of scientific interest in the outdoors, a Master Naturalist can pretty much learn about it.
Yes. Yeah,
it's pretty neat.
And plus, we also have internet resources that are available. And our team that gets our education going, it works tirelessly. I mean, they are always on. They go to every single class. I just wanted to give them a shout out.
Yes.
And in addition to those education hours, we are tasked with 40 hours of volunteer time. And pretty cool, this year we had three people that had 500 hours of volunteer time. We had some big projects. But each year after that, you need 8 hours of education and then 40 hours of volunteer time. And our headquarters is located at the Wildlife Discovery Center off Lakeshore Drive. And it is, it's my happy place now. It's really quiet. I probably shouldn't talk about it too much on the radio. You're all going to want to go. But it is operated by the Idaho Fish and Game. And there is a nature walk there and a building with all kinds of wonderful displays. We're going to display our education trunks maybe. We're talking about it. And there's a viewing pond that has monster fish, rainbow trout that have been fed every day of last summer, and they are so big. We have a fly fishing event there, and the fish are so big. I don't know if those kids are going to be able to reel them in at this point.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of those. I've been to a couple of those, and you do wonder if they catch one of those big ones, what exactly is going to happen. But they'll figure it out. It'll be fun.
And we have food that you can feed the fish so they can get even bigger. But the kids love that. One of our important tasks is to be a naturalist on duty throughout the summer, and we'll be advertising those hours later. And what happens is we go for 4 hours and we help the public, show them around the site and help them. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And then finally, we work super close with the Idaho Fish and Game. I consider both of these people my friends now. We work with their most pressing projects, usually the non-game animal projects so far. We did plant some trees for the deer, the ungulates. Yeah. Casey will really elaborate on these. But a couple of my favorite that we did last year worked super close with Casey on our milkweed propagation garden. Casey and the Idaho Fish and Game is very committed to helping our pollinators, and you'll hear a really cool project that he's going to talk about. But this one allows us to harvest the rhizomes for the milkweed, which are the most successful, and we are going to hand those out for free for different projects. And the second one, I worked really closely with Heidi, our educational trunks, and she's going to talk about that. But as a retired educator, that one was really important to me as well. And in addition to that, we also work with the other organizations like school district for field trips. And should I give us contact information now or later?
I wish you would. We'll mention it again at the end, but it's good to have it early and often.
Okay. So our email is imn.sandpoint@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page called Ponderay Chapter Idaho Master Naturalists.
Yes, and I've been there, and it's a good website. It covers really just about everything you would want to know about the Master Naturalists.
Yes.
So I appreciate that you've done such a nice job with that.
Thank you.
I should back up just a minute and let listeners know that we did interview the Master Naturalists about a month ago, maybe exactly a month ago, and we covered a lot of the basics and went into so much of that. And if you'd like to hear that again, listeners, you can find it as a podcast on our website, as you will be able to find this one later today if you missed part of it or would like to share it with a friend. So having said that, we'll all understand that today we're just taking a bit deeper dive into the Master Naturalists' relationship with fish and game. And with that said, we'll jump on to the fish and game folks. Who wants to start? Casey?
Yeah, I can start. I think we're going to talk a little bit about how we've worked with Master Naturalists in the past and how kind of the department and Master Naturalists try to get these cool projects done across the state. So I think Perky touched on a lot of it, and that kind of gives you a glimpse of how the Master Naturalists work here in the Panhandle, but it does kind of vary by region. So there's different Master Naturalist chapters around the state, and so I'm assuming most people or everybody listening to this is probably here in the Panhandle, but if you happen to be living somewhere else in Idaho, there's other opportunities to volunteer with other chapters there most likely, and how these relationships work kind of vary by region. By fish and game region and by the folks that are working there and kind of what the needs are moving forward. But here in the Panhandle, like as Perky alluded to, we work really closely together. And typically there's a set of projects like fish and game. It seems like we all have these things we want to do, and we all have 1,000 projects we want to do, and we play triage to see which 10 we get to do that year, if we're lucky, maybe which 3 we get to do. And the Master Naturalist, at least with my program, the non-game program, lets us kind of get some of these additional projects done that we might not be able to do otherwise. And so it's been great partnering with Perky and everybody else there, and we've been able to get some really cool things done, like the the milkweed propagation garden that Perky touched on was great. Like, I was able to provide some of my local funding, but really the work was done by Perky and all the other volunteers and master naturalists that were involved, and wouldn't have happened if they weren't involved with it. So,
yeah. And what does that, what did that work look like, guys? What were the master naturalists actually doing?
Yeah. So we picked out a portion at the Wildlife Discovery Center. And as Perky alluded to, we're trying to get more milkweed in the landscape specifically to benefit monarchs. And I'll go into more detail of that later because we've got another big monarch and milkweed project coming further later in the summer. But we wanted to try to get more milkweed growing in the landscape. The best way to plant milkweed is by rhizome. So you can plant seeds, but they seem to be a lot harder to germinate and get things going successfully. And so it's much easier to plant rhizomes. And so we wanted to get this garden going so we can hopefully harvest some of these rhizomes and, like Perky alluded to, hand them out and try to get more of milkweed in the landscape. The project itself, I try to provide some of my local funding, like I mentioned, and then we cut out a portion of the lawn there, essentially, so we could do something a little different with it. Then I'll let Perky talk about how she picked the plants and went ahead and kind of got those things. She really organized the project and kind of got things picked out, planted, and organized volunteers. So,
I just also wanted to add that was, I'm also a member of the Mighty Monarch Conservation Group. And so it was kind of a three organization project. And our goal is to help the pollinators with a focus on the monarchs. So I've been learning and studying, and so we decided to plant. We were going to plant the two native species, which is showy milkweed and a narrow leaf milkweed. Had a difficult time finding narrow leaf, so it's mainly showy there. And I learned that you need to do it in clumps. Milkweed spreads, which we hope is going to happen. It's already happening. I went out there last summer. Yeah, it's pretty fun. And then as soon as we're hoping to get monarchs actually using it as well, we're not going to, you know, every season we'll just dig up some of the rhizomes, leave the plants, so it's going to be a perpetual source of milkweed. But on the north and south end, we planted native forbs that the adults, if they emerge, have a place to find nectar as soon as they hatch from the chrysalises, which is super important. And then on the west side, we planted shrubs so that in the heat of the day, monarchs can't tolerate super hot weather over 100. They start to, they really are affected by heat. And so I put in three shrubs on the west side to help with that.
How nice. I think a lot of people are under the conception that monarchs have, if they just have milkweed, they're good. But that's just when they're little caterpillars, they need the milkweed.
And I wanted to add, we sourced our plants from Bob down at Cedar Naturals, Cedar Mountain Naturals, because he doesn't use, and I have such a hard time with this word.
Neonicotinoids?
Yeah, neonicotinoids. It's a what do you call it?
It's a bad dude.
It's a pesticide. A pesticide to focus on insect pests, but unfortunately, it can, as you can imagine, infect our native insects that we're trying to protect, like monarchs as well.
Right. So it's systemic. So it goes into the pollen, the roots, the leaves, and it's deadly. So we made sure that we found sources that did not have that.
That's really great to hear. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, that's a great project, Casey. Is there another interesting one you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think I'll just kind of touch base on some of these other cool projects we've got to coordinate on the last couple of years, and hopefully similar projects moving forward. But we, of course, like Perky mentioned, we've utilized the Master Naturalist and other volunteers to really get some other planting done on some of our wildlife management areas. Planted a few thousand trees and shrubs, native trees and shrubs, up at Boundary Smith Creek Wildlife Management Area, which is just right on the Canadian border up there. Really cool spot if nobody's been up there. Open to the public all the time, whether you're a hunter or bird watcher or whatever, that's a great place to go play. And so trying to improve the habitat up there and kind of improve cover for native critters, ungulates, grizzly bears, and also try to provide more resources for our pollinators up there, like native bumblebees. They've also helped with aiding with wildlife surveys. We might not be able to do otherwise, try to do like some common loon surveys up on some of the smaller lakes north of Bonner's Ferry every year. And the Master Natural has been great keeping that project going every year. Mm-hmm. And then also helping to control invasive species, whether that's plants or animals as well, have been a huge help doing that. And those projects kind of come and go, but those are just some other cool examples of some things that might not get done without their help. So.
And that really does sound fun. Who wouldn't want to go and count loons or mm-hmm. help with things?
It's so fun.
Up at Smith, where we might run into a grizzly bear. I don't know if that would be fun or not, but it'd be exciting.
It'd be an experience at the least, right?
Sure would. That's right. All right. And do you have more, Casey, or is that about it?
I can touch more about some of the bigger projects we go going this year, either now or later.
I think now would be great.
Okay. Yeah. So those are kind of some of the other projects in the last couple of years. But there's a couple of really big ones we're hoping to get help on this year. I think I'll start with what we already alluded to, which was basically a big milkweed and monarch survey. This year, Idaho Department of Fish and Game is looking to do a statewide monarch and milkweed survey encompassing all regions of the state. And we kind of did something similar in 2016, 2017, and did kind of this really large scale survey effort. And we're kind of trying to recreate that. A couple of reasons we're doing that is to kind of focus on the things that are the issues that monarchs are having, I should say. So a little bit about monarchs, if folks don't know already, they're pretty amazing. They migrate thousands of miles every year. So the monarchs we're seeing up here are most likely coming from the coast of California every year. So they fly up here every summer. They take two or three generations to complete. And basically to complete that migration before they come down to their wintering grounds again in California. And the way we can improve the conditions for them up here in Idaho is really to provide habitat, and that habitat is in the form of milkweed, as we alluded to earlier. And so caterpillars are 100% reliant on milkweed. If there's no milkweed up here, they're not able to successfully reproduce, and the monarch caterpillars are not able to successfully transform into butterflies and make that migration like we talked about. And so we really want to try to get a grasp of how much milkweed is on the landscape across the state. Basically some of the issues that monarchs have been having, just to kind of give people more background, historically there was over 1 million monarchs on the lake that would winter on the California coast, and that population has declined over 90% in the last couple decades. And now in the last couple winters, this last winter included, unfortunately, those counts have dropped below 10,000, so an extreme decline. And so we're doing what we can to try to see if we can turn that around, even though we're, just one state on that migration path, we're still an important part of it. So because of those declines, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed to list the species as threatened, and that helps us actually kind of get, well, that's one reason we're prioritizing it. It's always been a priority, but it's really a priority now that they're going to be listed. Try to basically just see if we can see how the habitat is on the landscape and see if we can improve it long term. So to get more into how you folks that might be interested could help with this project, essentially this is going to be a volunteer-based project, and we're hoping that volunteers like the Master Naturalist can go out and do these surveys we're hoping to do. We'd like to try to visit around 1,000 milkweed patches across the state in the next year or two. And we're going to kind of have these patches picked out in advance, or at least the priority patches we want to get done. And we're going to have it set up to where folks can adopt a patch they might be interested in doing, and then go to those patches and kind of collect the data we're asking them to collect. These surveys will need to occur in a specific time window to keep things consistent. And that'll be essentially July 1 through August 15. And try to do 1 to 3 visits for each patch in that time period. It's kind of cool. We've been basically trying to set this up to make it as user-friendly as possible. And so we have an app that we've developed within the department here where people can collect all the data through this app that'll be free to download, and we'll provide trainings for. And this app will allow us to collect all these data, including actually mapping the milkweed, the size of the milkweed patch, and how many stems are there. and then looking for monarchs, of course, on those stems and seeing seeing how many monarchs might be there. And we'll have some tools available, hopefully coming in there around May, to help people with trainings and to sign up for training, sign up for patches, and basically provide some online or some live webinars and some training videos coming up, and potentially live training opportunities as well, depending on interest and what folks we think will benefit from the most. So so that's kind of a big project we're looking forward to, and I'm sure the Mandy Monarchs here, the Master Naturalists here, will hopefully be a big part of that. They were actually able to conduct a pilot study last year, and they really helped us kind of focus our efforts and perfect the survey we're going to do this year. So they were essential to getting this off the ground in the first place. So.
That sounds like a great project. Yeah. Perky, you wanted to add something?
Oh, he covered it. Okay.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a great one. And if you have another example, I think we'd like to hear it and then go to song break and then talk with Heidi about what's happening in the trunks.
Yeah, the other project we have is a little bit more brief, but kind of a still cool opportunity. Actually, the Navy had reached out to the department, Idaho Department of Fish and Game, to help with getting some pollinator habitat planted at their Bayview Naval Station. And so they're providing the plants and the materials to do this with some of our guidance, but we're looking to help plant about 5,000 native plants, flowers, and shrubs on their naval station here this coming May, hopefully. And this is could be kind of a cool opportunity for Master Naturalists to come and help plant this. It'll just be a couple of days to try to get all these plugs in the ground, these native plant plugs that we'll have ready to go. But it'll be a lot of dirty work getting on hands and knees and doing that. So having lots of volunteers will be really great for that. We're hoping that the main planting effort will probably occur around May 14th to 16th, depending on weather. So if folks are interested in doing that, they can reach out to Perky or me, either contact Perky on the information she provided earlier, or you can call me at our regional office, at 208-769-1414, and I can fill you in on some of that information as well. So
cool. And that is the Coeur d'Alene Fish and Game office, basically.
If you don't
jot down your number this second, it's easy to find on the internet.
It definitely is. And I should clarify, that's for our main office, so that's not my direct number, but it'd just be easy to talk to ask for me when you call in, and I can try to fill you in. So
that sounds good. Well, what really kind of fun projects that I think folks would feel like they were making a difference if they participated.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty important ones for the non-game animals and insects. All right. Well, I think we're going to take a short song break and then come back and hear about other aspects of Master Naturalists volunteering with Fish and Game. And I've selected this song for starters, and I'm going to play for you James Taylor with... And that was James Taylor with Country Road, a nice song for this morning. This is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and it's the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm Julie Calamine, and I'm joined this morning by I always leave one part out of it. Is it the Pondere chapter?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Pondere chapter of Idaho Master Naturalists, and joined by Perky Hagenone, who's representing that organization. And additionally, we have two great fish and game workers, Casey McCormick, you're the regional non-game wildlife biologist, and Heidi Knapp, and you're the volunteer services coordinator, and we're about to get to you, Heidi, and hear about what you do and how you interact with the Master Naturalists.
Yeah, so our Pondere chapter of Master Naturalists, a couple of big projects that they've been involved in is one is with the Wildlife Discovery Center. Perky alluded to it earlier on Lakeshore Drive. So that property is owned by Fish and Game and is the outdoors is open year round to the public for anybody to come by and enjoy it. There's that viewing pond, there's a nature trail, it backs up to the river. It's just a great spot. In the summertime, the Master Naturalists have naturalists on duty who a few days a week will have the classroom building open with different displays, and there's staffing there to answer questions, and it's just a great opportunity for folks to come and enjoy the property and learn a little bit more from what we have going on inside the classroom. this year, Fish and Game has had a desire to reach out to the schools. So we are constantly getting requests for Fish and Game staff to come into classrooms and be able to talk about stuff Fish and Game does, the wildlife, get big game, small game, non-game, all those things, fish especially. But we just don't have the capacity to do it. So one of our big projects that we've wanted to do for a few years is educational trunks that can go out into the school districts, that teachers can have information that they need and kind of have a field trip experience on with what works with their schedule. So the we approached the Master Naturalist with this project, and they jumped in with both feet. They wrote a grant and were granted that from the Idaho Fish and Wildlife Foundation to get the funding for these trunks. What we did is we developed two sets. One set is based up here in Bonner County, and one set is down in Kootenai County. And there's four different trunks. We have a North Idaho fish, we have a pollinator's trunk, we have a bear's trunk, so black bears and grizzly bears that we have in North Idaho, and then a small mammal's trunk of small mammals of North Idaho. And within those trunks, they are broken down with curriculum and lesson plans and activities into three different grade levels, so K through 2, 3 to 4, and then 5, 6. And within those, even hitting all the main subject areas so that they can get a full, incorporate the material into as many or as few subjects as they want. So to check those out, the Bonner County ones, the Master Naturalists are going to be the point of contact. For the Kootenai County, they'll contact me at the regional office down in Coeur d'Alene. And this project has just been such a lift on Fish and Game, but just so exciting. We have some past educators that have been on the team to help develop it. They even met with local teachers to go over the curriculum and make sure that it met their standards. And it's just, they've got some awesome stuff in there, some hands-on things, crafts, all kinds of neat stuff.
Well, I would like you to tell us a little more about what exactly is in those trunks, because I've seen them, and it's fun for kids that are elementary age. There's a lot of really tactile stuff to touch and look at and pass around.
So one of, in the, I would say in the bear trunk and in the small mammals trunk, there are skulls and furs. We have different posters for them to look at. In the pollinator's trunk, they've got this awesome, probably about 3 foot long monarch caterpillar for them to be able to refer to, but also different hands-on things for them to be able to see the different stages of development for not only monarchs, butterflies, and other things, but it also, it talked about multiple pollinators, so bees as well. And then in the fish trunk, there's there's a fish skeleton and some a breakaway to be able to see kind of what the different parts of a fish are inside. All the trunks have at least one stuffed animal just to go along with, whether it's the books that they're reading or just as additional visuals. We have different storybooks to go along with the different curriculum as well. So there's a lot of neat stuff. For the craft projects, most of them have samples so that the teachers, they have the lesson plan so they can develop it, but they have a sample to refer to.
Yeah, it sounds great. Now, do any of you accompany the trunks, or do they just get dropped off with the teachers? How does that work?
So the teachers pick them up, and they can keep them for 2 weeks and then return them. And we've got checklists and inventory lists so that hopefully with a quick turnaround time, everything is accounted for. We are trying to keep track and just make sure nothing gets left out. So if anything's missing, we know and we can try and replace that before the next person gets it, if not after that. But
that's right. And I know you're taking that they're sent off to the schools, of course, but they go other places too. For example, there was an event on Trestle Creek last summer. Tell us about that, or if you can. I think you guys were at that one, weren't you, for the kids?
There was not for school. That one, because these trunks just rolled out in the last month. They've been working on them for the last about 6 months, but we just got them finished and started to be checked out in the schools for this last well, 3 weeks, really.
Okay.
But I'll let Perky speak to you. The Master Naturalists have used them up here in Bonner County for a couple school events in the evening. And Perky, why don't you tell them about that?
Yes, please.
Just an aside, I was an educator before I retired, and I used to check them out probably 20 years ago. And so these are the new, I don't know if improved, but resurfaced trunks. And I found them of great value, and I know how much the kids love having hands-on education. Each one has math, language arts, science, PE, and science lessons in them. So they're, but what was super important is they would be more very hands-on activities. There's lots of reading, but there's also the kids get to experiment and touch and feel. And a lot of the activities bring the information home to them, which is really wonderful. So we had working on the rollout, we wanted as many people to see them as we could. So we went to the Kootenai Science Night. And we had all the trunks all set up. It was so cool. We had all the artifacts that go in them and the books and the stuffed animals. And the families just went. They were so appreciative. The kids just loved it. We had dissecting scopes looking at butterfly wings. And we had a fish game. And we had all, it's just, it's so much fun. And then we went to Sagal Elementary Science Night as well. And we did the same thing with the same enthusiasm. So it's just been a win-win. Worked great with Heidi. Heidi was instrumental in all the, what do you call it?
The admin.
The admin part. And just was just amazing. It's been super fun.
And would you say that most of the kids in each elementary school then has the opportunity to check out the trunk? They all get a chance.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
We're already talking about more and different ones. We have an osprey and a bald eagle one coming.
That sounds pretty fun. Yeah. That would sound great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about that, Heidi? Or are we good there?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Again, teachers in Bonner County, you can contact the Idaho Master Naturalist. They'll get you the information if you want to get on the schedule to check those out. And then for those in Kootenai County, you'll contact me, Heidi Knapp, at the regional office down in Coeur d'Alene, and I'll help you with getting those checked out.
Okay. And Perky?
And also, all the teachers in Bonner County got an email from the Idaho Master Naturalists with a QR code that they can simply scan, and it takes them to the checkout.
Oh, that's easy. That's great.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, all right. I think we're more or less finished talking with the fish and game folks, but I'd like to come back to you, Perky, and just talk a bit about the deadline for the course that's going to be starting. I believe it's this Friday.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Let's cover those basic details so that if folks are interested in getting involved, they can maybe still jump in.
Okay. Well, you've heard all these projects, and they take a lot of really enthusiastic people who want to help, and we're always looking for new members. It's just a really caring, committed bunch of people, and I know that you would love it if you're interested in helping our environment. So we have hung flyers all over town. They're probably in half the businesses, so look for those. And if you would like to sign up, our welcome meeting is this Friday, like you said. It's March 21st, this Friday, and it's from 1 to 2 at the Water Life Discovery Center, which is on Lakeshore Drive, and I wish I had the address. I don't know it, do you?
Look it up.
Oh, it's 1591 Lakeshore Drive, and at that meeting, we're going to have a welcome introductions, intro to the Master Naturalists and Idaho Fish and Game. And there'll probably be some goodies.
Oh, good.
As well.
Perky, if a person is just sort of interested but not sure they want to jump in, is that the meeting to go to?
Yes.
Yes, all right.
Yes, they could come and hear the entire presentation, and then they can decide. We have a lot of people that do that.
All righty. And when will the classes actually begin?
They've already started.
Ah.
We start right away in January, but you're not behind. people who start now, you have plenty of time to get your 40 hours of education time.
Okay.
And before the end of the year.
And I would think next year you could always catch some. I mean, when they begin again next year, you could grab some ones that you might have missed.
Right. There's so many, you can't go to all of them. But many of them, well, I don't know what percentage, but they repeat. And that's why they take the education down to 8 hours the next year, because because of that rotation.
Necessarily want to repeat, but hopefully find some new courses every year.
And our email again is imn.sandpoint@gmail.com.
All right. So it sounds like it's pretty easy. And the Friday event would be a great one for folks that have heard things that pique their interest, but might like to hear about it all again and get enthusiastic about things and meet some like-minded folks who want to do science and get their feet out into the outdoors and a little wet and have some fun and maybe make a difference.
And get some dirty knees, sounds like.
There you go. And help the monarchs. Yeah,
we have 5,000 plugs to plant.
Yeah.
We need you.
That'll take a few volunteers. Well, all right, then. I'm going to conclude our great interview, and I'm going to thank you folks from Fish and Game. Thank you, Casey McCormick, and thank you, Heidi Knapp, for taking time off and joining us here on Sandpoint. And thank you, Perky, for coming on in and being so enthusiastic about the benefits of the Master Naturalist Program.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yes, thank you.
It's been great. All right, listeners, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and we're going to go to a song break, and then I may be back with some upcoming events. We'll see how much time we've got left. But for now, it's Talking Heads, Nothing But Flowers.